bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Well, as you know, I've been teaching in the last couple of weeks on the impact of what we say. I talked about watch what you say, and I taught last week about a good confession or the good confession. I'm still in the same mode, but I'm taking it a little bit differently. And the Bible teaches us that what we say comes from our hearts. And so if your heart is not right, then your confessions will not be right. The kinds of things you allow in your heart will determine the kinds of things that come out of your mouth. So I'm teaching today and next week on the title, Keep Your Heart. Keep Your Heart. We're going to look at how to preserve our hearts so that our hearts don't get contaminated, our hearts don't become bitter, our hearts don't become negative, so that negative words come out of our mouth. And we're going to look at matters of the heart, and matters of the heart are very, very intimate matters. There are things that can happen to you that can break your heart and break your confidence and thereby disturb what you say. Jesus was accused that his disciples did not wash their hands when they ate. And this accusation really wasn't a hygienic accusation. It wasn't that they didn't really want to wash their hands to eat, but it was a ceremonial or a traditional accusation, because the tradition at that time was that when you were, you know, the Jews believed that over the day, over the period, we get contaminated or defiled by so many things according to the laws. If you touch this, it's an abomination. You do that, it's an abomination. And so when people were coming to eat, they had to cleanse themselves. And literally, it meant that you had to pour water, you had to wash from the tip of your finger right up to your elbows. That was the kind of washing they were saying Jesus' disciples had not done, and they were eating. And in response to that question, Jesus gave an answer that helps us to locate our message for today. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, and we would look at verses 10, 11, 17 to 20. We'll look at verse 10 and 11, and then verses 17 and verse 20. To listen to what Jesus said and how that impacts on our hearts and the things that go into our hearts. Matthew chapter 15, and let's hear what Jesus said. And when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." I want you to note that carefully. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Remember, he's being accused of his disciples eating without ceremonially washing their hands. He says defilement does not come by what you eat physically, but what comes out of your mouth. Then verse 17 downwards, he explains it further. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? That's quite a lesson on biology. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Just want to clarify, Jesus is not saying, don't wash your hands when you're going to eat. He's saying, in this scripture, the ceremonial cleansing from contamination with sin, you cannot wash it by washing your hand. That's what he's talking about in this scripture, the context here. It's not what you put in your mouth, the food you eat that defiles you, is what comes out of your mouth. So, Jesus is teaching primarily from this scripture that spiritual defilement starts from our hearts, is expressed through our words, and is manifested in our lives. Spiritual defilement starts from our hearts, is expressed through our words, and is manifested in our lives. What we fill our hearts with will affect our entire lives. Sin comes from the heart. Righteousness comes from the heart. Faith comes from the heart. Our character is expressed from our hearts. So the quality or the state of your heart is critical to the totality of life you live. If you don't keep your heart right, you cannot keep your words right, and you cannot keep your actions right. So let's get to my main text for today, and that is from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And that's where my sermon title comes from. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Amplified Version says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Here, the heart is compared to a well or a river flowing with life or flowing with water. The things that really impact our lives, they don't flow from outside of us, they flow from inside of us out. The condition of your heart will determine the condition of the things that flow out of your life. Just like the physical heart is responsible for pumping blood to circulate through your body. Without your heart pumping blood to your brain will be dead. Every part of the human body naturally receives what flows out of the heart. The blood that flows out of your heart. When your heart beats, boom, boom, it's pumping blood. And so blood flows out, it gets to your fingertips, it gets to the toes of your feet, It gets to the top of your head. It gets to every part of your body. It enriches your body. In the same way, spiritually, what flows out of your heart touches every part of your life. And if you don't guard your heart well, you can contaminate, you will contaminate your heart, your life. And so we are instructed to make every effort to keep our hearts. We must be diligent, we must be deliberate, and we must keep our hearts because the issues of life are flowing from our hearts. The issues of life, the things that really determine life and death, are flowing from your heart. And the Bible says, make every effort to keep it. So what is the heart? When the Bible talks about the heart, what is the Bible talking about? What is the heart? The heart, as it is used in the scripture, signifies the total inner self, a person's inner being, a person's inner personality. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 calls it the hidden man of the heart, the part of man you don't see, but which controls the man. And all of us know that there is a part of us, an inner life, that is not seen outwardly, but that is what determines everything that happens outwardly. The heart is the genuine self. It is distinguished from our appearance, from public position, from physical presence. And the heart includes four things make up your heart. First is conscience. Everybody say conscience. Conscience is what helps you to judge between right and wrong. It is the place where the Holy Spirit makes us aware of and sensitive to what is right and wrong. When we talk about your heart, we are talking about conscience, where the Holy Spirit makes you sensitive to what is right and wrong. That which makes you feel that something you've said was wrong, something you've done was wrong, something you are about to do is wrong. Conscience, the voice of your spirit, the voice of the heart, it judges between right and wrong. The second component of the heart is devotion. The part of man that leads him to worship and swear allegiance or express allegiance to someone or something. This is where we give our lives in total submission to something. That devotion is from the heart. It's not from the hand. It's not even a mental thing. It's deeper. When you worship something, you submit to that thing. It can be someone or a thing. It is messed up. People sit in Ghana, and when Chelsea loses, they can't eat. The whole day, Monday, is messed up. Or Thursday, if they played midweek. It's messed up. Some people give their heart to a sport, to a belief, to a person. You literally worship the person. Some to a political party. That's where their devotion is. Their sense of worship, although by definition they say they are Christian, their real devotion is not to God. It's to a sport, to a party, to a human being. Sometimes it's to a girlfriend, to a boyfriend, to a husband, to a wife. What do you worship? The third component of the heart is belief, the seat of faith and values. This is where we accept something as true or real without questioning. Every human being believes in something. Even people who say they don't believe in God believe in something. Some believe in God, others believe in evolution. Some believe in science. Because there's nothing in this world that can be absolutely proven. Nothing in this world can be absolutely proven. At a point in life, you have to take a leap of faith to believe something. Everybody believes something. Some people believe God created the world. Others believe the world was not created by God. There was a big bang and everything came to being. Nobody was there. You have to take a leap of faith. So human beings have something in them that helps them to believe and not to question what they believe. It comes from the heart. So the heart is our conscience. We get devotion from our hearts. Belief comes from your heart. You believe something. You don't question it. And you have to be careful what you believe. Because what you believe will influence you tremendously. And finally, the heart has to do with intentions, our resolve, and our purpose. That which makes us to say, I'm going to do this and not change our mind. This is where we make final decisions. This is where we either choose to surrender to Christ, allow Him to be the Lord of our lives, or choose not to submit our lives to Him. Conscience speaks to us. Devotion points us to God. Belief encourages us to trust Him, but it is intention that makes the final decision whether we will serve God or not. All these are from the heart. Conscience, devotion, intention, and the third one was, what did I say? Belief. All of these come from the heart. So when the Bible says the things that defile man come from the heart, this is the place it's talking about. When the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, this is what he's talking about. You have to keep your conscience, keep your devotion, keep your belief, keep your intentions, because if you don't guard these and you allow anything to enter in, your life will be messed up. Keep your heart with all diligence. So you have to be careful whom you give your heart to. When you tell a person, I love you with all my heart, you have to be careful what you're talking about. I give my heart to you, baby. I know sometimes we make those statements superficially. I give you all my heart. You know, my heart is for you. I love you with my heart. People say that, and most of the time it's superficial. But there are times when it's really deep. And that can really make a lot of difference in the outcome of your life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be diligent. Be deliberate to keep your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust Him with at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. When we pray, we pour out our heart before God. Our devotion, our belief, our intention, our conscience released to God. That's what true prayer is. True prayer is not just mental. It's not a repetition of words. It's the pouring out of your innermost desire to God. Now, many times in the Bible, the heart and the spirit, those two words are used interchangeably. So many times when you look through the Bible, you see heart and spirit mean the same things. Not every time, but many times. Let me give you two examples. You won't find the scriptures on the screen, but I'll read them quickly to you. You can write them down. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. God says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." Here you see a new spirit and a new heart, the same. So heart is the same as spirit in this context. In Romans 2:29, we read, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." So you find in these two verses, heart and spirit are the same. Heart and spirit are the same. "Keep your heart with all diligence" can also be translated, "Keep your spirit with all diligence, for out of your spirit, your heart flows the issues of life." So, if we have to keep our hearts with all diligence, what is the door to the heart? What are the things that can make things enter our heart or leave our heart? Because you know, doors function two ways. Doors are for entrance and from exit. So something can enter your heart and something can leave your heart. Now that some of you can relate to that, when you love somebody with all your heart and you don't love him now one bit. And people ask, "What's happened?" You say, "The love is gone." So it can enter and it can leave. Bitterness can enter your heart, but bitterness can also leave your heart. Anger can enter your heart. Anger can leave your heart. Because there are doors, and doors are for exit and for entrance. There are three gates, three doors to your heart. Three ways that things enter your heart. First is through words, what you hear. What you hear. And we're going to go deeper into this later. I'm just introducing the concept. Words, what you hear. What you hear is very important. Because when you hear things, a process is started for something to get into your heart. Why do people love their football team? Why do people love Manchester United or Chelsea or Arsenal or whatever team they support, or Accra Hearts of Oak or Kumasi Asante Kotoko, another team in Ghana? Words, you hear of them, but not only words, images, what you see. What you see opens a door into your heart. That's why what you see on television is so critical. What you hear on radio, what you open your ears to, what you open your eyes to, you are opening the gate of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If I want to control your heart, I'm going to use words and I'm going to use images. Third, experiences. What you feel. What you feel. What you've gone through. What you've experienced in life. So, bitter experiences, angry experiences, joyful experiences, faith-filled experiences, all of these things create a doorway to your heart. The words you hear, the images you see, the experiences you go through, these are the doors to your heart. Somebody is trying to steal your heart. At every time, every advertisement is trying to steal your heart. Trying to get you to be devoted. And people get devoted to all kinds of things. And they will kill for it. Because it's at the center of the heart.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.